Good morning. This week's parsha is Parshas Yisro. We are told at the beginning of the parsha the story that Moshe is out in the desert, and who comes to see him? Who goes out to the desert? Yisro, his father-in-law, and he comes with Moshe's wife Zipporah and their two children. Out he comes to the desert, and he sees how his son-in-law is judging the people in all of Israel. Many people are standing in line waiting to speak with Moshe. So Yitro tells him, listen, you won't be able to continue such a... Perek Yud Ches, Pasuk Yud Tes. Yud Tes. Ato Shma Bekoli.
Wait a minute, what number are you following
that? 19. Perek 18, Pasuk 19. Ato Shma Bekoli, now listen to me, says Yisro to his son-in-law Moshe, Iotzcha, I will advise you. V'yehiel kimimachan, let God be with you. Heye atala om mul ha'elokim, you should be for the people the one who represents them, mul ha'elokim, toward God. In other words, the intermediary between God and the Jewish people should be you. You should bring their words and their problems, their difficulties, you should bring them before God. This is the pasuk that we're going to deal with this morning. You should warn them. You should teach them. As hachukim v'shatoros, the statutes and the laws. And you should let them know as haderech yel chupa, the path on which they shall go. Ve'et hamase asher ya'asun, and the acts, the deeds that they should do. Says the Gemara in a number of places, and we're going to come to the source of this Gemara. I'm really going to take you this morning on a journey through a number of fascinating incidents in the Talmud. Based on this pasuk, says the Gemara the following. V'hodatolan, you should let them know, as hachukim v'shatoros, and you should let them know the way on which they should go. Tana Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yosef learned. V'hodatolahem. Now, the first part of the pasuk simply means, of course, to teach them Torah and mitzvahs. You have to teach them the law. What's the second part of the pasuk? If they know already, chukim and torot, statutes and Torah, they know it. What's the second half of the pasuk telling? V'hodatolahem. Says Rabbi Yosef, V'hodatolahem means zeb beit chayehem. This is the house of their life. Rashi says two pshatim on this, two different places in Talmud. One place Rashi says Beit Chayehem is the mitzvah of studying Torah, house, the house of life. In another place Rashi says Beit Chayehem, their life, to teach them L'lamed lehem umnut lehitparnes, but teach them a profession, encourage them to learn a profession by which they're going to make their living. The Torah Tmima says Uperush Zeha Akron Mistaver. He says this second shot that he has brought in the name of Rashi, that Beit Chayehem, the house of their life, means a profession, a trade. He says that makes a great deal more sense than the other pshat, because the other pshat of Rashi was that it means the study of Torah, but that was already included in the first part of the pasuk. The first part of the pasuk said, "V'his arta ethem es achukim es hatoros." So there already it's talking about statutes and Torah, which of course includes the study of Torah. So what does v'hodat alehem, let them know, Beit Chayehem, the house of their life? In other words, that which is so fundamental a need that they should be able to survive, that's the study of a profession. All right? Rabbi Yosef continues and says, Es haderech, on the words in the pasuk, Et haderech, the way, zug milus chasadim, to do acts of kindness. Yelchu, let them go, zeb bikur cholim, Yelchu means visiting the sick. Ba, the road that they should go, ba, in her, that road, in a sense seems to indicate the end of the road. Zukura, that's the mitzvah of burying the dead. Ve'es hamaseh, the last part of the pasuk, the last phrase in the pasuk, is hamaseh asher yasun, es hamaseh, what the act, zehadin, that's law. Asher yasun, that they should do, ze lifnim mishurat hadin. Lifnim mishurat hadin. We are soon going to explain the literal meaning. We're soon going to understand what lifnim mishurat hadin really means. But how do we usually explain or understand the term lifnim mishurat hadin? Usually it's understood as going beyond the requirements of the law. That means Torah is not a hard and fast system where there is no place for the expression of the individual. The individual does have a place in Torah. His feelings also count. In what respect? That one has the right, even more than that, the obligation, according to this pasuk, to go beyond the requirements of the halacha. All right, we will understand it more. Let me take you through a few gemaras in Shas. Some of them we learned in a different context. The gemara in Masechta Bracha says the following. The halacha is, Shnayim mafsikim le'echad, ve'ein echad mafsik le'shnayim. Three people are benching. And one of them is finished eating, and he wants to bench now. The other two are still eating. Do they have to interrupt their eating in order to answer for him? So the halacha is, one person interrupts his meal if the other two want to bench. But in the event that two are eating and one wants to bench, the two don't have to interrupt their eating. He'll just have to wait until another one finishes eating. So the Gemara says the following. V'horav pape afsike la'aba mar v'rei iu v'chad. Gemara tells us that Rav Papa once interrupted his meal. He and somebody else interrupted their meal in order to answer benching for a third party. But wait a minute, why did he interrupt his eating? There are two who are still eating. So the Gemara says, Shani Rav Papa, Rav Papa is different. The lifnim mishurat hadin avad. Rav Papa conducted himself beyond the requirement of the din. Lifnim mishurat hadin. Alright, we have another example. Another example that happens to deal with Rav Papa as well. The halacha is the following. Or at least the Gemara asks the following question. Somebody sold something because he assumed that he needs the money. He sells a piece of land. He sells an object. He sells it because he was in need of money. And now, after he sells it, it becomes clear to him that he doesn't need the money. Can he now say, you know, let's forget the sale, take back your money, I want my object back, or I want my piece of land back? So the Gemara says in Ksubas the following. The Gemara asks a question. He sold something and now he doesn't need the money. Hadri zavini or lo hadri zavini? Do we nullify the sale or not? So the Gemara says, there was once a story of a person who sold land to Rav Papa. Because he needed money, so he sold him the land. The end was, he didn't need the money. I don't know, maybe he thought he has to make a payment on something. Other money came through. He won a Mifal HaPayas. Rav Papa gave him back the land. Rav Papa purchased the land from him. Rav Papa gave him back the land. Rav Papa nullified the original sale. So the Gemara says that from Rav Papa we can't prove what the din is. Why? Because Rav Papa lifnim mishurat hadin hu diavad. Rav Papa conducted himself lifnim mishurat hadin. Alright? There's another Gemara. a Gemara with a woman who came and showed a dinar to Rav Chia, to Rabbi Chia. What they used to do was there were all sorts of coins that were in use, coins that belonged to different countries, different realms, and there were people who were experts and studied coins in order to know, is this coin legal tender or isn't it legal tender? And there were times at which it might very well be that a coin that was clearly worth money today, tomorrow some king may go ahead and say that this is no longer the coin of the realm. So in order for people to be able to use various currencies, they would go to a person who was called a shulchani, an expert on currencies, and they would ask him, is this good or isn't it good? And there would be a fee. They would pay him, I don't know, a few agurot in order to tell them, is this coin good or isn't it good? So here there was a woman who showed a dinar, a coin, to Rav Chia, and Omala, he told her, Ma'alya, it's a good coin. It's a good coin, it's fine. Therefore, she most probably accepted this coin, say she accepted it as payment for something. So now she has that coin. Lamacha, the Gemara says, the next day she came to Rav Chia and she said to him that I tried to use this coin out in the marketplace, and you know what they told me? Bisha. It's bad. It's a coin that can no longer be used. Velo konaskile. It's no longer legal tender out there in the world of commerce. Amalei l'Rav, Rav Chia said to his nephew, Rav was his nephew, so he said to his nephew, Zil Chalfei Nehela, go exchange the coin for her, in other words, pay her her loss, Uktov HaPinkasi, and write in my book, write into our book of accounts, Dein Esek Bish. This was a bad, bad business. We lost on this one. So the Gemara asks, the halacha is the following. There are two kinds of people who would be able to tell somebody about a coin. There was an uman, in other words, a person who was really an expert. And then, of course, there are experts, and there are always novices at the business. Yeah, there's somebody whom you ask directions and he will tell you precisely how to get there and he knows what he's talking about. And then there are people who give you directions that you never get where you're going. So the halacha is the following. An uman, somebody who is an acknowledged expert on coins, even if it turns out later that he made a mistake, he doesn't have to make good the loss. The reason why he doesn't have to make good the loss is because by an expert, we have the right to assume that he knows all of the information updated. He learns it, he studies it, and therefore anything that happens afterwards was really something that he had no reason to know. There was no way that he could have known. If anything, most probably what happened is that this coin, which later is not good, it took place after he said that the coin is good. Something may have happened out there in the world of commerce. But a person who is not an expert and he starts giving advice about coins has to be very careful because he's going to be held responsible. So the Gemara asks, Rab Chia was a known expert in the field of coins. He told this woman that it's good. Now it turns out that it isn't good. So what's the halacha? The halacha is that Rav Chia doesn't have to pay. He's an expert. He doesn't have to pay. He's not held liable or responsible. So why did Rav Chia tell his nephew Rav, give her back the money, make good her loss, and write in our accounts, Dein Esek Bish, this was a bad business? So the Gemara says, Lifnim Mishurat Hadin. He conducted himself lifnim mishurat hadin. This is a Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Tzadik Tes on the days, and the Gemara says, Kidetani Rav Yosef, as Rabbi Yosef learned, the Rabbi Yosef that we're talking about on this pasuk in Parshas Yisro, v'hodato lahem ze beit chayeyem, et haderech, you should let them know the derech that is gemilus chasadim. Yelchu, they should go, that is bikur cholim, visiting the sick, bo is kura, burying the dead, as hamase ze hadin, asher yasun is lifnim mishurat hadin. All right. Let's go to another Gemara. Gemara says the following, and what will emerge over here is an understanding of what Torah is all about, what halacha is all about. Gemara says the following: Rabbi Yehuda have a shokel v'ozel batrei demar Shmuel b'shuka. Rabbi Yehuda was walking after Shmuel out in the marketplace. The marketplace of Beit Daisa, name of a place in Babel. Rabbi Yehuda turns to Shmuel and he says to him, Motzo kan arniki mahu. If somebody finds a wallet, somebody finds money here, what's the din? Amalei hadei elu shalom. Shmuel tells Rabbi Yehuda, anybody who finds money here can keep it. Because there's so many people here, there's absolutely no way, really, of being able to identify it. Nobody can really come and identify it. So then, Rabbi Yehuda continues asking, Boy Yisrael, if a Yisrael, a Jew, comes and notain bo siman, and does give a siman, he says, he's able to, in some way, demonstrate that this money might belong to him. Mahu, what's the din? Amalei, so Rabbi Shmuel told him, Chayev lahazi, you have to return it. So he asks him, Tarti? I mean, you just not told me two things that contradict one another. If you say that you find a purse here, and we're talking about not a purse that has any unusual identifying features. You told me on the one hand that if I find something here, it belongs to me. Now you tell me if somebody comes and gives a simon, I have to give it back to him. I mean, that's a contradiction in Piskei Halacha. Amalei, so Shmuel told him, Lifnim Mishuras Adin. Yes, as far as the Halacha is concerned, you may keep it. But there is a responsibility, it seems, to go beyond the requirements of the Halacha. As an example, Kihod Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, found donkeys out in the desert. Donkeys out in the desert. The halacha is that you're permitted to keep it. Was it a place that was hefka? Who knows how long the donkeys were there? V'ahadrinu le'more le'bosa treise yarcha shata. 12 months later, 12 months after he found them, he took care of them for 12 months, and finally he was able to find the owner, and he returned it to him after 12 months. Says the Gemara, you know what Avur, the father of Shmuel, was doing? He was conducting himself lifnim mishurat hadin. Lifnim mishurat hadin. Alright, another Gemara. This Gemara, I think we once learned. The halacha is the following: if somebody needs help, I'm walking on the road and somebody has his donkey all laden down with all sorts of goods, and we have to take off the packages and put them back onto the donkey in a way that it will be better for the donkey. So the halacha is ozof tazof imo. You're supposed to help the owner of the donkey put everything back in place. Or if a person is carrying something and he needs help getting it on his back, you have to help somebody out. Ozov tazovimo, help him out. However, the Torah says, what happens in the event that it's zakein ve'eino lefit chvado? We're talking about the person who walks by now is an elder. And it's not lefit chvado, you understand, for the Chofetz Chaim to be standing on the road and putting packages on a donkey. So the halach is clear. Zakein ve'eino lefi chvodo. Somebody that it's not in keeping with his dignity has absolutely no obligation and no responsibility to help out. I mean, there are certain things that just we don't expect, we don't even want Gedolei Yisrael to do it. Zokin Beinu Lefichvoda doesn't have to help put packages on a donkey. So the Gemara says the following. The story is told about Rabbi Yishmael Ber Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yishmael Ber Rabbi Yossi was going on the road and he met a person who was carrying a bundle of wood. And you know, every so often a person has to sort of put down the bundle, take a rest for a minute, get the bundle back on his back, and keep going. So he asked Rabbi Yishmael Ber Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yishmael Ber, do me a favor, can you please help me get this bundle of wood on my back? Rabbi Yishmael asked him, tell me, how much is the wood worth? So he said, it's worth a half a zuz. Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi takes out a half a zuz and says, Rabbi, take a half a zuz. I'm buying all the wood from you. Now, what's Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi going to do now? He's not going to schlep this wood into town. He has no interest in doing that. So what he does is, he says, let this wood be hefker, it's ownerless. Anybody who wants it can take it. This fellow who sold him the wood hears that. So you know what? He goes ahead. And he acquires the wood. And then he turns to Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi and says, Rabbi Yishmael, could you please help me put this on my back? So of course Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi takes out a half a zuz. And then he makes it ownerless again. But he sees that this fellow is going for the wood, and you know it's going to keep going, ad infinitum. It's going to keep going forever and ever. So Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, I make this now ownerless to the whole world. Anybody in the world can acquire it, except you, except you. You can't. So the Gemara deals with the question from a legal point of view. A visitor from the King David. It's not Baker.
Thank God.
Oh, the Chinese could be? Oh, Levy's going there. Keep track of all the, you know, the whole world wants to enter into diplomatic relations with little Eretz Yisrael. Okay, it's Mashiach's sake. Anyway, right now we're more concerned about what's going to be with this bundle of wood. So Rabbi Yishmael says that the bundle of wood is ownerless. Anybody in the world, except you, can acquire it. So the Gemara now deals with the question, can you do something of this sort? It seems that according to the halacha, the only time something is really hefker, something becomes ownerless, is if I make it absolutely ownerless, which means the whole world, anybody in the world who wants to can acquire it. Which means that when Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi says, the whole world can have it, except you, it's not really legal and it's not valid. So the Gemara says, you're right, that's true. But Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi just wanted to throw this fellow off track. Yes, from a halachic point of view, it really belongs, anybody who wants to can take it. He wasn't obligated at all to help him. Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi is zokein vein olif yichvodo. He doesn't help people put bundles of wood on their back. According to the Torah, he didn't have to help this man at all. He certainly didn't have to give him a half a zuz. Certainly, not once and not twice. So the Gemara answers, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, you know the answer already. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, lifnim mishuras hadin huta avid. He conducted himself beyond the call of duty, yes. And the Gemara brings, kidetani Rabbi Yossi, our pasuk, and everything we learn out of the pasuk. Here the Gemara adds something very significant. Gemara says, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yochanan said, after the Gemara brings this pasuk and learns everything out of it, the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim, and Kuras Mesim, and Gemilus Chasodim, Asher Es Hamaseh Din, Asher Yasum, that they should do, Lifnim Bishurat Hadin, why is it so important, lifnim mishurat hadin, to Amar Rabbi Yochanan? Because Rabbi Yochanan said, lo chorva Yerushalayim, ela al shedonu bo din Torah. Yerushalayim was destroyed because they taskened according to Din Torah. Din Torah ruled in Yerushalayim. So the Gemara asks, what kind of din do you want? Dina, the Magista, I mean, what kind of law you want? You want the law of Ottoman law, Turkish law? You want the law of idolaters? What kind of law? I mean, what's Rav Yochanan saying? Yerushalayim was destroyed because they paskin din Torah. Isn't that great that they paskin din Torah in Yerushalayim? Says the Gemara, Ella, you know what Rav Yochanan was saying? Shehemidu dineim al din Torah. They conducted themselves according to the letter of the law. V'lo avdu lifnim mishurat hadin. They didn't conduct themselves lifnim mishurat hadin. You understand what the Gemara is saying? The Gemara is saying, Rabbi Yochanan is telling us that God has very special demands of Yerushalayim. For Yerushalayim to conduct itself only according to the letter of the law, which may be magnificent conduct for the rest of the world, but for Yerushalayim and for Eretz Yisrael, you know what God wants? Conduct that is lifnim mishurat hadin. And Yerushalayim was destroyed because the letter of the law, no good. They have to conduct themselves lifnim mishurat hadin.
The world,
the world wants us to conduct to be better. Not bad. So not only God, but the world expects a different, a higher form of conduct from us than from anybody else. Nobody else in the world has ever given back territories that were captured in war legally, but we're expected to do that. President Bush would not come out and say no Jews are permitted to live in Garden City, New York. But he certainly wants to tell us that no Jews can live on the West Bank. West Bank. Yes, Nick.
When you issue justice, isn't it supposed to be tempered with mercy?
That's really what this whole shiur is going to be about. Let's wait. Atavini odmat. Now, there's a thesis over here where thesis asks the following question. What are you telling me that Yerushalayim was destroyed because they lived by the letter of the law? But there's another Gemara, a Gemara that's known to us, where the Gemara says that Yerushalayim was destroyed because of Sinat Chinam. Sinat Chinam. Hatred. So the Taisus answers, Yesh Lama, we can answer, Dehava Ha Gorma. Both of them were the cause. Sinat Chinam and Din Torah. In a sense, we can say that they are interrelated. You know, if I don't really love my fellow Jew, then you know what I want? I will exact from him the demands of the halacha. To go beyond the requirements of halacha, that requires already a sense of mercy, compassion, feeling toward my fellow Jew. No, the law is the law. Another Gemara. Gemara says the following. Gemara says that Rabbi Bar Bachana owned barrels of wine, and he hired workmen to carry and move his barrels of wine from one place to another. What happened? In the process of moving the barrels of wine from one place to another, they broke the barrels of wine. Broke them. So what did Rabbi Bar Bachana do? Shaka liglimayu. He took their coats away. He has to have something from which he's going to collect his loss. So he took their coats. Also, Amru l'Rav, they came to Rav, and Rav we already met in another instance. Rav was the one whom his uncle Rab Chia told him, write down that this is Asek Bish, we made a bad deal over here. The workmen came to Rav, and they told Rav what happened. Amalei, so Rav said to Rav Abba Chana, give them back their coats. So Rabbi Babachonis says to Rav, Dina Hachi, is this the din? Amaleisa, Rav told Rabbi Babachonis, in. Yes, that's the din. Why? He quotes a pasuk in Mishlei, Leman Telech Bederech Tovim, in order that you should go in the way of the good. Leman Telech Bederech Tovim. All right. Along come these workmen, and they say to Rav, they said to him, Anye Anan, we're poor, V'tarchinon Kula Yoma, and we worked hard all day. It took a whole day, I imagine, to break all of the barrels. V'kafinon, and we are hungry. V'leslon Midi, and we have nothing. Amalei, so Rav told Rabbi Babachon, Zil Havigra, you give them their salary. Pay them for their day's work. Amalei, so Rabbi Babachon said to Rav, Dina Hachi, is this the law? Amalei, he said to him, in, yes. And then he quoted the second part of that pasuk in Mishlei. The second part of the pasuk is, V'orchot tzadikim tishmor, God, watch the path of the tzadikim, of the righteous. All right? Quite an unusual Gemara. In a number of places in Shas, Tosfos asks the following question. In all the Gemaras that we learned up until now, the term that was used was Lifnim Mishurat Hadin. And the pasuk that was quoted was the pasuk here in Parashat Yisro. V'hodata lehem saderech yel chupa. Why over here, in the case of Rabbi Babachana and the porters who broke the barrels of wine, Rav does not quote the pasuk of Lifnim Yishurat Hadin, but uses a pasuk in Mishlei, Leman Telech B'derech Tovim, in order that you should go in the way of the good, V'orchot Tzadikim Tishmor, and watch God, the path of the righteous. So the Tosfos says the following. When do we use the pasuk of Et Hamaaser Asher Yasun? Says Tosfos only B'Makom Sha'Chedim Chayovin V'Hu Potter. When do we use the pasuk in Parshas Yisro? Only in a case where others would be obligated to pay, but he is exempt. Take all of the instances where we use Lifnim Yishurat Hadin. Rabbi Shmuel Barab Yossi is Zaken Ve'eno Lefi Chvodo. He is exempt from helping this fellow put the wood on his back. What about another Jew who's not Zaken? Would have to help this Jew put the wood on his back. Rabbi Shmuel is exempt. Rav Huna is an expert at coins. He knows which coins are good and which are not. Most other people would have to pay if they make a mistake. He's exempt from that because he's an expert. He's an expert. Huh? No. You know why the Gemara says that? Because a person who's not an expert, Havalei Lemelech, he should have learned. Don't go give your great advice if you don't know. That's how the Gemara explains it. The expert is the one who knows precisely, and if anything goes wrong with that coin, it's not because he was remiss, it was because something happened out there beyond his control. But if you don't know, you're not an expert. Give Nishkanetzis, do me a favor, give Nishkanetzis. You're going to go give ages, then you're going to pay for it. The Gemara asks your question, and I'm giving you the Gemara's answer. Now listen to what's happening now. So Tosfos is saying, when do we say Lifnim Yishurat Hadin? When do we quote the pasuk of Lifnim Yishurat Hadin? Where a person is exempt from the mitzvah, and he does it anyway. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi doesn't have to help a person put wood on his back. But he chooses not to use the exemption. He foregoes the exemption. That's going Lifnim Yishurat Hadin.
Do you know what that brings us to? A real understanding of what the meaning of Lifnim Mishurat HaDin is. Let me ask you. What's the literal translation of Lifnim Mishurat HaDin? What? Going beyond the law. All right. That's what we've been saying up until now. But now I'm asking, listen to the words. I want you to translate for me Lifnim Mishurat HaDin. How would you translate that in? Within the line of the law. And how have we been translating it all the time? And everybody always understands it. To go Lifnim Mishurat HaDin is going beyond the line of the law. But that's not the translation of Lifnim Mishurat HaDin within the line of the law. You know why? Because where does the Gemara use the term Lifnim Mishurat HaDin? I'm exempt. Everybody else would have to fulfill the law, and I choose to forego my exemption and remain within the line of the law. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi is outside the line of the law. All other people are bound by the law to help somebody put wood on his back. Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi is a shinehi, and the Torah therefore has exempted him. You know what Rabbi Shmuel ben Rabbi Yossi says? I'm not going to stand outside of the line of the law. I'm moving in, and I want to remain lifnim mishurat hadin. I want to stay within the confines of the law.
Did you ever think that was the translation of lifnim mishurat hadin?
Lifnim mishurat hadin, within the line of the law. I don't want the exemption. I forego the exemption. Yes, I wouldn't have to pay that woman for the coin that now is valueless. I don't have to, but you know what? I'm putting myself in the law. I'm going to conduct myself the way everybody else would have to conduct himself. That's Lifnim Mishurat HaDin. That's Lifnim Mishurat HaDin. Wait. So two things. So now we have one concept, one idea called Lifnim Mishurat HaDin. We have another concept that's based on a pasuk in Mishlei Leman Telech B'derech Tovim V'Orchos Tzadikim Tishmar. Now they're fascinating, a very beautiful Vilna Gaon on that pasuk in Mishlei. Leman Telech, in order that you should go B'derech Tovim, in the way of the good, V'Orchot Tzadikim, and the path of the righteous Tishmar, you should keep God the path of tzaddik. The first part of the pasuk was used by Rav to Paskin, give them back their coats. The second part of the pasuk was the psak, pay them their salary. Even we can understand that there's a difference between these two piskei halacha. We can understand, alright, give the man back his coat. So he'll collect it some other way, some other time. But pay these people whom you hired to do a job, not only didn't they do the job, but they caused you loss of everything that you wanted them to move from one place to the next. Says the Vilna Gaon, there's a difference in Hebrew between a derech and an orach. There's a difference between a tov and a tzaddik. A derech is a wide path. A derech is a road. A nice, you know, something like this, what they would call an autostrada around here. That's a derech. An orach is a pathway. You know, it can be a little simta. A lot of people travel a derech. Not that many people travel the orach. So he says, leman telech, in order that you should go b'derech tovim, there are a lot of people that are tovim. There are a lot of good people. And there are more people that travel that wide road. A lot of people can understand the concept of give them back their coats. What are you going to do? Let them go without their coats. The cold and the raking and the schneid. Give them back their coats. But there are not many people that walk the smaller, narrow path of Orchos Tzadikim. That's already an act of extreme tzidkus. Go pay them their salary yet. Would be tuach lumi and all the rest for the day's work when they caused him such loss. Now,
Let's go back to our pasuk in Parshas Yisrael. The pasuk over here is et hamaseh, that's din. Asher ya'asun is lifnim mishurat hadin. Going, we can still say going beyond what the law requires of me, which very often means that I choose to forego an exemption and remain within the demands of the law. I will accept the demands of the law. How do we learn lifnim mishurat hadin out of the word ya'asun? Where does it, I mean, the Gemara simply goes ahead and imposes such a major halacha because there's the word ya'asun. What does the word ya'asun mean? Found very beautiful. The Ksav HaKabbalah says it. And in a sense, even one place, the Torah Tanina seems to say something similar. Ksav HaKabbalah says the uniqueness and the beauty of Torah and mitzvahs is that each and every person can see and express himself. The mitzvah becomes a mirror image of the individual. God that gave us Torah and mitzvahs did not intend that we become clones of one another, and that here we are, hundreds of thousands of people doing the same mitzvah in the same way. Every mitzvah in Torah leaves a tremendous amount of opportunity for self-expression. There is the person that will perform the mitzvah, just so. There's the person that's going to perform the mitzvah with a tremendous amount of intent and with warmth and with zeal and with a fire, mit habren. Everybody expresses himself in his own way. The human being, the fullness of the human being comes through in the performance of a mitzvah. A mitzvah is not simply like the law and do the law. What happens when you have a verb and then the verb gets a nun at the end? In this pasuk here, what would have been wrong if we would have said that hamaseh asher yasu? Yasu. What's this yasun? What's the nun at the end of the word yasun?
Everybody.
What does a nun mean? I'll give you a number of examples, you'll see right away. When you take a verb and you put a nun at the end of the verb, I'll tell you the law first and then we'll see the examples, you'll understand it immediately. You have a verb and you put a nun at the end, that verb becomes a noun. A person, how do you say a manufacturer? A ta'asiyan, a person who does, but he does on a professional level, he's a ta'asiyan. Let's start with the lowest. There's a person who accepts upon himself to build a building. Who mekabel al atzmo to build a building. I can't do this, but he who mekabel al atzmo. When you want to turn this fellow from the verb of lekabel into a noun, he's a kablan. A fellow who's a late, and he does it professionally, he's a late son. I'm going to have to come up with a few good ones, you know, for the year.
Huh?
A shad. A shad. Right, the verb is l'shadeh. The nun is not part of the verb. An importer. A person who brings into the country, he does it professionally, he's a Yifuan. Oh, there must be so many more. There we go. So we have Kablan and Kamtsan and Leitsan. There must be some nice ones. Why can't anybody think of something nice? A yarkan, all right. A yarkan, a sachkan, a solam, one who sings a solo. A batchan. A batchan, you're right. A London.
Wow.
Right, that was good. That was, I enjoyed that though.
The verb is lilmod. To learn. Where does the nun come? When you add the nun at the end of a verb, you transform the verb into a noun, into a title. Et hamaseh asher yasun. A person who has transformed. Et hamaseh asher yasun. There is the person who does the maaseh, but when it is yasun, you know what it means? This is a person who does it perfectly, professional. He becomes a yasun, in effect.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Son, that's what I wanted to ask you. All of them have a pata.
Right. So it doesn't really have to, the form doesn't have to be precisely the same, but the idea of the nun at the end of a word.
Right.
And you will begin to notice in a number of places in Chumash where we have this. We even have it in later on in Devarim with regard to idols. Ashelo yirun, velo yishmaun, velo yochlun. You're going to make idols that don't see and don't hear. Why all the nuns? Why all the nuns? All the nuns are an indication they are incapable. They are the epitome of non-eating, or not seeing, or not hearing. They're incapable. You know, it's not merely a verb that the idol doesn't know how to see or does not know how to hear. It's hearingless, it's seeingless, it's eatingless. You know, its professional description is that it's incapable of doing anything that's human. Hamaaseh asher yasun. If Chazal tell us that yasun means lefnim, we should have had then that nun makes all the difference in the world. We have two more important comments to make. One is a Ramban. A Ramban in Sefer Devarim. And you're going to see the beauty of Torah. The beauty of Torah comes to the fore. There is a there is a pasuk in Parshas Vayeschanan. Parshas Vayeschanan, Perek Vav. I'll read Psukim 17 and 18. 18 is the passage that we're interested in. Shomor Tishmerun. Shomor Tishmerun. Keep at mitzvot Hashem Elokeinu. The mitzvot of God, the God. Here also we can say Shomor is the act, the verb to keep it, and you turn into a person who's a Tishmerun. Shomor Tishmerun at mitzvot Hashem Elokeinu ve'edotav v'chukav asher tzivach. Keep the mitzvahs of God your God, his testimonies, his statutes that he commanded you. Then comes an unusual pasuk in Torah. Vasisa ha-yoshar v'hatov ve'enei Hashem. Do that which is right and good in the eyes of God. L'man yitav lach, in order that it should be good for you. Uvosa v'yarashto es ha'aretz hatova, then you will come and you will inherit the good land. Asher nishva Hashem lavosecha, that God swore to give to your fathers. So you should do hayoshar v'hatov, that which is right and that which is good. What does that pasuk mean? What does that pasuk mean? I mean, it's so general. It's such a general, like be good. What does it mean? Beautiful Ramban. Says the Ramban the following. Al derech hapshat. The meaning of this pasuk is yoma. Tishmeru mitzvot Hashem ve'edosav v'chukosav u'techavein ba'asiyatan la'asot hatov v'hayashav be'inav bilvad. The simple meaning of the pasuk is, pasuk 17 tells you should keep the mitzvot, the chukim, and the edot that God commanded you. Why should you keep it? Not for any ulterior motive, not because of reward, but you should keep it because that's yosher v'atov. You want to do that which is right and that which is good. And then when it says Uluman Yitavloch, that it will be good for you and you will inherit the land, that's not the reason why I'm doing it. That's God promising.
God promises. You're going to keep the mitzvahs, and you're going to do it because you want to do that which is yashar and tov. You should know I am going to reward you. Then comes the Ramban and says, Ul-Rabu-Senu bozeh medrash yocha. On this pasuk, our rabbis learned a beautiful medrash. Amru, they said, you know what yashar and tov means? Pshara, compromise, yulifnim mishurat hadin. A person should conduct himself lifnim mishurat hadin. Now, incidentally, according to how we have explained lifnim mishurat hadin, pshara is very well understood. What is a pshara? A compromise. What does it mean on a compromise? Truth is, if I would go for din, the bet din most probably would end up saying that Reuven owes me the $100. But I'm ready to forego. Okay, I'll remain within the line. I'm not going to go all the way for din. I'll forego part of it. I'm going to stay within the Shurat HaDin, and I'm ready to forego that which might rightfully be mine. All in order that there should be peace and tranquility. The Hakavona Bazeh, says the Ramban, the intent over here is, the Pasuk 17 said you should keep the chukim and the eidos that God commanded you. And now this Pasuk of Asisa HaYoshev HaTov, you should do that which is right and good, comes to tell me, Gam Basher Lo Tzivcha, even where God did not command you how to conduct yourself, Ten Datcha Lasot HaTov VaYashar Be'enav. Pay attention. Try and figure out what would God have wanted you to do under these circumstances. Do what is good and right in his eyes. Ki hu ohe, because God loves Tov and Yashar. Ramban says, this is an extremely important thing. Lefishi efshal ahaske b'Torah. Torah cannot mention every manner of conduct under all circumstances. Torah cannot be a handbook to tell you if such and such happens, this is the way you should conduct yourself. If that happened, this is the way you should conduct yourself. It's impossible. Impossible for Torah to tell us all of that. Impossible for Torah to mention all of the manners of conduct of a person in Shechinav with his neighbors, v'rei'av, and his friends, v'chol masa'o u'matano, and how is he to conduct business, v'tikunei ha'yishuv ha'medinot kulam, and how countries and states should conduct themselves. What is the Torah telling us? Aval achadeshi hiskimi hem harbe, after the Torah gave us all sorts of examples of how God wants us to conduct ourselves. For example, he told us, Lo telech rochel, don't carry tales. Lo tikom, lo titor, don't go for revenge. Lo tamad al dam reyecho, don't stand idly by when your brother is in trouble. Lo tekalel cheresh, don't curse. Mipnei seva tokum, stand up, rise before the elderly. Ukiyotzebo. So the Torah has given us already an indication of what's yosher and what's tov. Now comes the Torah and says, Chaza loma v'derech klal. Now the Torah says, as a general rule, sheyasa hatov v'hayosha. Try to figure it out. You're an intelligent individual. Figure out what's tov and what's yosha, what's good and what's right. B'chol davar. And until this will include pshora in lefnim mishurat hadin, included in tov v'yosha, is be ready to compromise. Don't stand on the letter of the law. Go beyond, stay within, forego exemptions. You don't always have to get your pound of flesh.
In Yiddish, it's still mein Zivagen.
Yeah?
Was mein Zivagen?
Okay.
That's a Jewish expression.
That's Pshara. That's Lefnim Yishuras Hadin. A sense of it. You know, and there are times at which I have shailas that come to me that like, shake me. Metzach shlugim, metzach hagenin, over 50 shekel. And you know, there are times at which it upsets me, because first of all, I have to understand as sort of as a shofet or as a rav, 50 shekel means a lot. Means a lot to a lot of people. But then again, sort of, you know, the time is back and forth. There are times at which I have so much difficulty listening to it. And you know, like, it has to be my way. I'm right. And the end is nobody wins. The truth is, nobody wins in the end. Everybody emerges a loser.
And then, you know, by many people it becomes, listen, this is a matter of principle. Matter of principle. God, that word should be thrown out. Matter of principle. And if everything becomes a matter of principle, the matter of principle really is, he has to know, I'm right, and he's wrong. That's the whole principle. And nothing but the principle. Okay. Says the end, the Ramban says, you should figure out what's Tov and Yosha. Torah has given you enough examples, and that it includes Pshara and Mitznim Yishur HaSadin, Ukigom Mashi Hiskiru, Bedina the Bar Metzra, and it includes the Halacha. There's a Halacha called the Law of Bar Metzra. The Law of Bar Metzra is the law of my closest neighbor. I own this piece of land. My friend owns this piece of land. I want to sell mine. The halacha is, by right, I should give my neighbor the right of first refusal. He has, because this is the only opportunity that he'll ever have if he wants to expand his land. He has the right. What happens if I don't offer the piece of land to him? And you know what? I sell it to somebody else. You know what the halacha says? That somebody else thinks he bought it for him? No, that somebody else bought it for him, for the owner of this property. Because the right thing to do is that he should have the right to buy it. Of course, if he says, yes, I want the land, so the fellow who bought it will get his money back from him, but the land is his. That's Yosher v'Tov. And further he says, and this also includes, Yosher and Tov includes the idea of Pirko Noah. Pirko Noah, according to the Gemara, means that a person should be concerned about his reputation, not to do things that are going to leave the impression that he's not a shinegi. The diburo benachas and aprius, and to speak with people, to speak with them, the way a man is supposed to talk, diburo benachas, with sense, with kindness, with archi kore bekolinin. A person has to strive that he should be called in all areas of life. He should be called Tam the Yosha, person who does Hayosha Batov. What we've seen up until now, we have one thing left to say. What we've seen up until now is that the halacha is not a system of law, strict, straight letter of the law. The halacha takes into consideration the needs of a people, and it leaves open the ability of an individual to express himself, his yashrus and his tov leiv, leman teler bederech tovim v'orchos tzadikim tishmor et hamaseh din and lifnim mishurat hadin asher yasun and lo chorva Yerushalayim ela al shehem. They stood by the letter of the law. A few psukim in Parshas Yisro, and with this we end. Right before the Aseret HaDibrot. Here we are in Parshas Yisro. Shishi, chapter 19, pasuk 20. I'm going to read a few psukim. Chapter 19, pasuk 20. The great morning has finally arrived. A morning that all of history was waiting for, the entire universe waiting for that great Yom HaShishi, when God is going to descend upon the mountain for the first and only time in all of history. God comes earthward, and in order to reveal himself in all of his glory and all of his majesty, in thunder and lightning and the sound of the shofar, God is communicating with his people. And here, the few moments, these are the last few moments before the voice of God is going to boom out, Anochi Hashem Elokecha Asher Hotzeisicha Meretz Mitzrayim. It seems something has to be taken care of last minute, before the great revelation. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, God came down on Mount Sinai, El Rosh Ahor, to the top of the mountain. Yikra Hashem l'Moshe, El Rosh Ahor v'yal Moshe. He calls Moshe to come up to the top of the mountain, and Moshe went up. V'yal Moshe went up. Yomer Hashem l'Moshe, and God said to Moshe, Leiv
Ha'ed Ba'am, go down and warn the people, Pen Yaharsu al Hashem, lest they break through to God, lit out to see, v'notam imenu rav, and many are going to fall. They're not to come to the mountain. V'gam ha'kohanim anigashim al Hashem yitkadoshim, also the Kohanim who draw close to God have to sanctify themselves. Watch, can't come to the mountain. Pen yifroz behem Hashem, lest God is going to make a breach in them. The fact is that Moshe had been told earlier that anybody who's going to come to the mountain when God's presence is there, sokol yisakel o yoro yiyore, is going to be stoned. Death for anybody who comes to the mountain. So what had Moshe done? Moshe had set up
boundaries
around the a fence around the mountain. So now God comes down minutes before the great event is to begin, and he says, go down and warn the people not to come up to the mountain, because if they want to come up to the mountain, they're going to die. Vayomer Moshe l'Hashem, Moshe said to God, Lo yuchal ha'om lalot el ha-Sinai, the people cannot go up to Mount Sinai, ki ato ha'idosa bona lemo, you already warned us, saying, Hagbeil et ha'har, make a gvul, make a boundary around the mountain, the kidashto, and sanctify the mountain. We've already put up barriers, you know, mishtara, atzor, har lefanecha. For all I know, he may have put soldiers, shoftim, standing around the mountain. You see what's happening over here? In these last few minutes before Mount Sinai, there is a dialogue that takes place between God and Moshe. Moshe doesn't seem to understand God. God, is, we're going to see, doesn't seem to even respond to Moshe. What's Moshe telling him? Kadesh, what do you want from me? Lo yuchal ha'olah, they can't go up. We took care of it all already. It's all taken care of. They can't go up. There's a fence around the mountain. Hashem doesn't even seem to respond to Moshe. But Yomer Elov Hashem, God says to him, Lechrei, go down. Va'alisa atov Aaron imach, you and Aaron will come up with you, v'hakohanim v'ha'am, Al Yersu, the Kohanim and the people, Al Yersu la'alot, let them not break through to come up. El Hashem, pen yifroz bam, lest there will be a breach, there will be destruction. Vayeded Moshe Elham, Moshe went down to the people, Vayomer Aleim, and he said to them. What did he say to them? God tells him, go down and tell the people not to come up, you know, because they're going to, it'll be terrible. Moshe says, Chavesh, what do you want? You took care of everything. Lo yuchal ha'olah, they can't come up. So it seems Moshe doesn't understand what God wants from him. God doesn't even respond to Moshe. And he says, you know, warn them. And then it says, Moshe went down and he said to them. Said to them what? What? What's happening over here? What a strange dialogue. Here comes the great moment. And you know, in the course of reading the parasha, we become involved in the Aseres HaDibros, and we don't understand what's going on. What's happening over here? Something very, very important is happening over here. Something very important. For many years, what was it that maintained the balance of power in the world? You may recall there was once a Cold War. You remember? What maintained the balance in the world? Power. And there was an extremely important word. Before detente, there was another word. Deterrent. The United States had an atom bomb. Russia made an atom bomb. The United States made a hydrogen bomb. Russia made a hydrogen bomb. The United States made ICBMs, intercontinental ballistic missiles, under the Kinder won't even be able to pronounce it, yes. So Russia made ICBMs. The United States had SAMs. Russia made Mishas. I don't know. I mean, it was the balance, the arms race. What was the purpose of the arms race? The purpose of the arms race was there had to be a nuclear deterrent. What was going to deter the other side? Everyone saw each side, the other side as being the mortal enemy of this side, and the only thing that will deter Russia from sending its ICBMs against New York, Chicago, and Washington is because within minutes they know that Moscow, Leningrad, and Riga will disappear from the face of this earth. What is it that this fellow who wrote that book recently about the Gulf War said that why were there no guilty weapons that are not conventional, why weren't they used? Because Israel moved out the atom bomb. And it was picked up by the United States, and it was picked up by Baghdad, and Baghdad knew that if they were going to throw anything guilty conventionally against Eretz Yisrael, Baghdad would have ceased to exist in a minute or two after that. So what was it that maintained the balance in the world? Deterrent.
Fear.
Fear. You know what that means? Yes. Fear, retaliation, deterrent. What does that mean? It means that what maintained peace in the world was not an inner feeling, I don't want to destroy anybody, I don't want to hurt anybody. Do you know what it was? I know that if I'm going to try and destroy anybody, I'm going to be destroyed. This was an outer motivation, not an inner motivation of what's good and what's decent and what's right and what's moral and what's ethical. At these last few minutes before Maimon Har Sinai, do you know what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants of Moshe? Go down the mountain and speak to the people. Tell them they shouldn't want to come up to the mountain. Moshe doesn't understand at first. He says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Yuchal, they can't go up to the mountain because I've already put barriers and deterrents. There are walls that are in the way. There are policemen who are standing there. God says, no, that's not good enough. Animals need walls. What they have to understand is that they should not want to come to the mountain because that's the will of God. What are you going to tell me? They want to do what's wrong, except that there's a deterrent, there's a wall in the way. That's not the kind of people that I want to talk to. I want to talk to people upon whom I'm going to make the impression that there is morality and there's ethics and there's goodness in the world. And the goodness and the morality and the ethics has to be motivated from within. Not because there is a wall out there. Not lo yuchal ha'am lalo, they can't go up, which would mean, sure, they would want to go up, but something's stopping them. That's not good enough. That which stops them from doing what's wrong should be an inner motivation. It has to come from within. A knowledge of what's good and what's evil, what's right, what's wrong. What is the will of God? What is it that God does not want? That's the kind of people I want to talk to. That's the kind of nation I want to create. I want to create a people who are going whose actions are going to be determined not by fear and not by deterrence, but by an inner sense of what's good. That's what Torah is talking about. Halacha is not a straitjacket. Halacha is God's moral and ethical rule in this world. And what he wants of us is not simply, yes, that we should all be clones of one another, live within the confines of the halacha. The confines of the halacha are that which give man tremendous amount of breath. I'm able to find full expression to all of my feelings in halacha. And therefore, that halacha is not simply maaseh, which is din, but no, we want more. You have to be, in a sense, the Jew is called upon to be creative in halacha. How am I creative? I'm creative by going lifnim mishurat hadin. I am creative by I am creative by virtue of we've learned Gemaras over here. We've learned the conduct of Gedolei Yisrael, the kind the kind of conduct one could not imagine would appear in any other system. I don't think there's another system that would of law that would ever have said lemantaler b'derech tovim v'orchas tzadikim tishma. Give them back their coats and pay them their salary. That's the halach. That's the Torah that we're talking about. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. Right before Anochi Hashem Elokecha, you should know, I don't want you to live by fear and deterrent. You have to be able to create within you a sense of what is yosher and what is tov, and that's what halacha is all about. The din and the lifnei mishurat hadin. Okay, that's it.